tankards hoisted high as Parson Glaive led him into the hall of ceremony, a grand and high, partly natural, partly carved cavern. On one wall loomed a giant hearth, a bonfire blazing within, lighting all the place with great waves of orange glow, and to the side of it, far enough to avoid the blast of heat from the conflagration, sat King Emerus Warcrown on a great throne on a raised dais. A second throne had been placed beside his own, less ornate perhaps, but no less high in position or stature. To this second chair, Parson Glaive led the hero of the evening. And when Brunner went to respectfully bow to the king, he found that Emerus dipped first. The king then stood and turned the hero around to face the community, with raised mugs in toast and voices in a great, "Huzzah!" And there in the front row of that crowd, her face wet with tears, stood Eoin Roundshield, nodding and sniffling. Brunner knew the decorum and ignored it. He wasn't quite sure why Eoin's face touched him so at that particular moment, but he could not resist the urge. He broke from King Emerus's grasp and leaped from the dais and across the way to wrap Eoin in a tremendous embrace.
"For your da,"
she whispered to him amidst the thunderous applause. Brunner shed a tear, the first for his dead father. And he hugged Eoin all the more, and for a long, long while, lifting her from the floor and swaying her back and forth gently. When he finally broke and turned back for the dais, a dozen hands reached for him to pat him on the shoulder, and one voice lifted above the others to draw his attention.
"Ye saved me, sister,"
said Malabrich's Fellhammer. Brunner locked gazes with her.
"She telled ye to leave her, but ye would not."
The tough warrior, aptly nicknamed Fury, had more than a little moisture in her eyes as she solemnly nodded her gratitude and approval. Back on the dais, King Emerus signaled for Brunner to take his seat, then called for the testimonials. One by one, starting with Ognan Leatherbelt, the other five members of the Rauvin scouting group stepped up to stand before the king and the hero and offer to the gathering stirring tales of the battle. And each of those tales outdid the previous. Clearly, they had rehearsed the roles each would play in this historical retelling. Ognan set the stage, then Tannerbridge's told of the opening volley and of Arar's great courage in saving her. Mandarina came next to confirm that Fist would have died if Arar had chosen differently. Magnus Leatherbelt brought out the oohs and ahs with his description of the arrival of the giant, and the great behemoth surely sounded even bigger in his retelling than it had loomed on the field that day. Last came Ragged Dane, the old warrior. He looked Brunner in the eye to offer a nod of respect and a wink of salute. And then, with the sobriety of a veteran who had fought 100 battles, the temperance of a dwarf who had seen many enemies killed, and the grim resolve of a dwarf who had fully expected to die in the foothills of the Rauvins, Ragged Dane showed himself to be as fine a bard as he was a warrior. He had the crowd hushed for a long while, hanging on his every word, and when he finished with,
"And so I'm telling ye here and telling ye true, if not for little Arar,"
his dramatic pause right there brought an audible gasp from the crowd.
"Nah," he corrected. "Ain't no little left in that one."
This pause brought the most raucous cheers of all.
"If not for Reginald, son of one of me dearest friends, more it didn't keep him drunk, then know that none of us would be standing with ye tonight. And ye'd know that orcs and a giant prowl just to the north of Felbar's gates."
The room exploded as Ragged Dane walked over to Brunner and presented him with a flagon of Gutbuster, as sure a passage into adulthood as any dwarf could offer a teenager. He took Brunner's arm and coaxed him out of the chair, leading him to the center of the stage. With a wink at Eoin and a nod to Ragged Dane, then to King Emerus, Brunner drained the flagon. Up came Emerus, and from a pouch he produced a grand golden medal, fashioned in the shape of a round shield, and hung it around Reginald's neck with a fine mithril chain.
"Grant a wish,"
Malabrich's Fellhammer cried from the crowd, and the chant was taken up all across the hall.
"Grant a wish."
King Emerus wore a surprised expression, but it was feigned, Brunner could tell. The king had expected this, as Brunner surely would have in one of the similar feasts of honor he had presided over in Mithril Hall, and indeed Brunner had granted more than a few such wishes. The most common request, of course, would be for a tub of beer, a flask of brandy, and the hand of a lovely lass for a dinner date, or a sturdy lad when a female was being so honored.
"Take the girl, little R.R.,"
someone yelled out from the back, and all started laughing at that.
"Ain't so little if he takes the girl,"
another cried.
"Fest," yelled one. "Fury,"
argued another. And so it went, with both Fellhammer lasses furiously blushing, and Brunner wearing a little grin through it all.
"Might be the pair of them, if Fist and Fury are meaning anything,"
Ragged Dane shouted, and the room exploded with laughter, King Emerus most of all. Finally, Emerus quieted it all and put his arm around the hero.
"Well there, Reginald," he said. "It's seeming that we're all in agreement here. You're deserving of a wish, be it a weapon, or a suit of mithril, or a tub of beer, as I can order. If it's a girl you're wanting for a dance or a dinner, well, that's for her to agree, of course. And if it's for the two of them Fellhammers, then I'm thinking their dam might have a word with ye."
That brought more laughter, and even Brunner joined in this time.
"But the wish is yours to ask, and ourn to grant," King Emerus proclaimed. "Ye name it. Moradin's blessed ye, and who're ourselves to argue?"
The smile left Brunner's face in the blink of an eye at that, replaced by a frozen expression, as he tried to hide his grimace. Emerus's words, "Moradin's blessed ye," bounced around in his head with the force of a giant-hurled boulder, assaulting his sensibilities, reminding him of the futility, the sad joke, that was the reality of little R.R. A roiling anger twisted his belly and stabbed at his heart. Moradin's blessed ye? It was all Brunner could do to keep from cursing Moradin in front of all of them then and there.
"Reginald?"
King Emerus asked. And Brunner only then realized that a long while had passed. He looked up from the king to the gathering, to Ewene, then to Ragged Dane and Ognan, and the others of the battle group, including Fist and Fury, standing side by side and smiling widely at him, their eyes sparkling with anticipation. He looked at Parson Glaive and wanted nothing more than to run over and dress the priest down, to tell him that it was all a joke, that Moradin played with them and ridiculed them and laughed at their victories and failures equally. But he